Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
It's not uncommon that women will get nauseous or sick for a time during their pregnancy, but hyperemesis gravidarum, or HG, is a complication of pregnancy in which sufferers experience extreme levels of nausea and vomiting, and it can even be life-threatening. One woman who has first-hand experience of this condition is Janine Breslin, and she joins me now. Janine, how are you today?
I'm good. Good morning, Afra.
Good morning. Thanks for talking to us. Can you give us a... Can you give me an explanation of what HG, hyperemesis gravidarum, actually is?
You pretty much just said there. It's constant 24-hour nausea. It's constant vomiting. Now, there is different degrees to it. Mm. I just happened to get one of the worst.
Yeah.
But it's an unbearable sickness, and it takes a toll on your body, your mind, everything, your family at home. It's just, it's an unheard of condition.
Yeah. And did you know... Did you know anything about it before you had were pregnant?
No, I the usual, didn't Kate Middleton have that? That was
yes,
the usual.
Yes, that was what came into my head. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, well, I know she had a touch of it, but other than that, it was, you'd get the comparison to, I had a touch of morning sickness like this. This was nothing like I'd ever experienced before. I couldn't get out of bed. I ended up rupturing a vein in my uterus by having it from violently throwing up, that detached my placenta. So I was put on bed rest for the whole pregnancy. It was constant. I could time it. Every 20 minutes, I was getting sick.
And were people, you know, it kind of happens, I guess, you know, groups of girl friends, a lot of them get pregnant around the same time. Or
yeah, I was the first of my friends to have kids. Now, my sister-in-law was pregnant at the same time as me. So she kept telling me, this isn't normal. You need to go to the hospital. And then when I ended up rupturing the vein in my uterus, I went in and they were like, you need to be in here for fluids. And from then on, it was 8 weeks onwards, I was going in weekly for weekly fluids.
Thank
and
God.
That was for the whole pregnancy.
So your sister-in-law was pregnant at the same
time
as you?
She kept telling me, yeah. And she kept going, this isn't normal. You need to get fluids. And I kept going, no, it'll go away. Because everyone kept comparing it to morning sickness. So eventually when I ruptured and I had such a big bleed out, I ended up in Hall Street and they were like, you need to be in here every week for the rest of your pregnancy.
So you had no idea how serious it was.
No.
Obviously, you just kind of thought, I've got really bad morning sickness, and that's
and
just
kind of
it. And
I kept thinking, maybe it's just me, I'm not coping, because everyone kept saying, I had to touch that. No, I was able to do this or that. And I was like, I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't walk. I had no energy to jump down the stairs. I couldn't hold water down. I survived my whole pregnancy eating jelly because I couldn't drink water. I had to chew jelly.
Did you, you found it, that must be really isolating to be in that situation.
Well, I actually used a donor conception for my son.
Okay.
I live on my own. It was just myself. Like, my mother was having to let herself in daily into my house to bring me water up the stairs. I couldn't get up down the stairs. And I was so afraid to tell people I was pregnant. I don't think I told most people until I was 4.5, nearly 5 months. Obviously, some of my family knew, but people thought I was out of work with a bad back and everything. I couldn't tell them because they told me with such a high level of detachment of my placenta that the pregnancy could stay, it could go. So I was so afraid to tell anybody. I was like, this can't be normal. This,
were you,
it's not meant to be.
Were you afraid to tell people in case the pregnancy went wrong and you were...
Yeah. With detachment, they told me that. They said sometimes the placenta knits back in, sometimes it doesn't. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, because I was constantly vomiting, it was stressing my body. So that's why I was put straight onto bed rest.
Did it start as soon as you got pregnant?
I did IVF, so kind of after the 2 week wait, when I got the confirmation that I was pregnant, I kind of had a little bit of nausea.
Yeah.
But as soon as I hit 8 weeks, 10 weeks, it was, I couldn't eat, drink, move. Like, the thought of it was just debilitating.
Yeah. There was, like, I want people to understand how debilitating it actually was for you.
I couldn't get out of the bed. I couldn't drive. I couldn't.
You ended
anywhere.
Up sleeping on the bathroom floor.
I was sleeping on the bathroom floor because it was constant. I didn't have the energy to get in and out of the bed all the time. So I was sleeping on the bathroom floor during the night because I just couldn't get from the bed without getting sick all over the landing. I could only brush my teeth in the shower because that would make me vomit. Everything would make me vomit.
Oh my God. So Hollister told you to come in and...
I was in every Friday for the whole 9 months for IV fluids. I'd get 2 bags of saline and a bag of Pabernex every Friday. Sometimes at the end of my pregnancy, I was in twice a week. Mm. And it was only after I had the baby, I was told the Pabernex is what they give to chemo patients. It's what they give to people on liver failure because your body does not absorb any nutrients anymore. It's just had enough.
Did that give you, when you went into hospital, Were you able to kind of calm down a bit, or were you sort of, because obviously you must have been up the walls. So
it took a couple of weeks of doing the fluids that on a Friday when I got the fluids, I would think, oh, myself and another girl that I met that had hyperemesis, we'd go, oh, you kind of feel a bit hungry, like maybe I could have a meal after this.
Yeah.
So Friday night would be, I know I can have a dinner. That would be the only meal I'd probably enjoy. Other than that, you're just snacking on toast, tea and toast for the whole pregnancy.
You must have lost so much weight, did you?
No, I wish. The fluid retention from getting the fluid constantly. Now, some women it does, but it's from all the drugs in your system. Like, literally, it's just... Now, I'd obviously put on weight from IVF treatment.
Sure.
To me, I felt like a balloon. I was so swollen. I'd come out after getting the IVs, and like, your veins are collapsing because they're trying to find different veins every week. Your hands would be the size of balloons from the fluid retention.
Impossible on every level. Were you told that it would end at any stage?
That's where you'd get your hope up. Every week the midwife goes, sometimes it goes at 12 weeks, sometimes it goes at 16. Yeah. And at 16, I was still constantly going in. Every week you go in, they take what's called a puke score and they'd grade you. And I was still at the highest level that I have to come in for fluids. And they'd say, oh, maybe next week, maybe next week, maybe next week.
Yeah.
And I would just get my hopes up, and it would make me so depressed that it was only for the fact that Maeve, my friend that was in there that had hyperemesis as well, she was going, this is my third pregnancy. She goes, it doesn't go away. She said, you will be vomiting giving birth to your baby. And I was.
That's nearly, do you know what, as awful as it sounds,
it
that's really better.
It was that I needed.
Instead of, you know, thinking that you're at the end of the tunnel and then there's another.
And the more that
corner.
You're not going with what the doctors are saying, you think something else is wrong.
Of course,
And it was only for the fact that she was giving me realistic expectation, and like the two of us were like tit for tat. Every week you'd win and something else would be wrong with you because of the hyperemesis.
Yeah.
It'd be like, what's wrong with you this week? It became comical.
What were the injuries like? What injuries did you sustain?
Well, I ruptured the vein in my uterus, so that was like major bleeding out, and that's why I was put on bed rest, because it could cause another rupture during the pregnancy.
Yeah.
I ended up herniated in the disc in my back from constant vomiting and from weight of the pregnancy. Your teeth are in tatters just from throwing up. You lose all bladder control. After 9 months of vomiting, you can't hold anything anymore. So it's a choice between sitting on the loo or getting sick, because you're going to do both at the same time.
Yeah.
I ran out of people because I couldn't drive. I was so embarrassed to ask people for a lift into the hospital. My poor aunt drove me in every week because I'd be getting sick in her car.
Just
embarrassing. You can't go to dinner. You couldn't go out to eat your friends for fear that you're away from the toilet for long enough that you'd have to vomit somewhere. It's embarrassing and you don't want to talk about it, but after having it, I have no shame.
It's rock bottom. Like it really is. You ended up in a wheelchair.
We had booked a family holiday, not only down to Centre Park, but by the time we got there, I couldn't walk anymore.
Oh,
it was literally, I had to, and they didn't even have, because it's all up and downhill, I had to rent a mobility scooter one, because it's not fair for someone else to push me around at 9 months pregnant. Like, we went to the lights at the zoo. That was about one of the only things I got out for as well. And that was towards the end of my pregnancy. I was in a wheelchair for that because I couldn't walk. I could not walk. Everything else started giving up on my body.
Did you think, because of what happened to the vein in your uterus and you were bleeding and stuff, did you ever think that you had lost the baby?
I was told when I had such a big rupture, I'd passed so much blood and tissue that I was told, oh yeah, you've passed the fetus at this stage, from what you're supposed to show them what you passed. And literally it was the next morning when they sent me a scan, it was the girl went, oh, real nonchalantly, oh, there's still a heartbeat there. And it was just the realization of, like, you're just in floods of tears, because before that you're like, thank God the pregnancy has gone, you're so sick, you do not care what has happened to the baby.
Yeah.
And then you feel terrible. Now, touch wood, he's perfect, he's so good, and I've paid my dues, he's such a good baby.
Yeah.
But it's just horrific.
Yeah.
You're taking the medication and it's back up just as quick as you take it.
Can I ask you about the medication? What was it that you were given?
I was put on Stematol first. Mm-hmm. Now, that didn't really have any bearings on my condition, so they switched me onto, kept me on the Stematol and put me onto Caraban at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was a little bit of ease in it, but
okay, you were able to get something to eat every now and again.
I was able to hold down the water more so, which was what it was, fluids. I wasn't getting anything into me, but the price of it, I'm self-employed, while I'm sick I don't get.
So how much did this cost you a week?
My local chemist was €58 a week, so that's €60 a week on one medication that's not on the drug payment scheme.
Why is it not on the drug payment scheme? Do you know?
It's officially classed as a food supplement drug. And I don't know how it's classed as that. Yeah. Right. If it was a drug for men, it would be free.
You get it in an ATM.
Yeah.
So you were trying to survive at that stage on £240 a week.
You had, not even because I'm self-employed.
Because you're self-employed, of course. Oh yeah, my God, you're self-employed, of course.
My mortgage was on hold. Like, it's just, it's an unspoken of. And because it only affects women, I think they're just not bothered with it.
That's a scandal.
Yeah.
So when you went, when did you go into labour?
They kept telling me I'd prematurely, more than likely, because of the attachment to the placenta and because high spermicide, I'd more than likely go prematurely.
Sure.
He was 2 weeks over. I literally had to say, get
him out. Yeah.
I have to schedule for an induction. Please drag him out.
Yeah. Put
head, arm first. I don't care. I'm done.
I know.
Yeah.
And how is he now?
He's perfect.
Brilliant.
He's a giant. He's sleep, eat, repeat. That's all he does. He's such a good baby.
Good. Well, you paid your dues big time.
I think they're made of tougher steel, those high-premise babies, to survive a pregnancy inside you. Everything else.
Does it have an effect on? Does it have an effect on the baby?
Generally not, but because his placenta is attached, they said it could lead to, sometimes with the lack of oxygen that they're getting from the placenta,
sure,
it could lead to brain impairment.
So that's
it's
a secondary thing. Yeah.
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 But
have you? Perfect. Have you? Any continuing issues because of the HG that you suffered?
My back is still gone. Sometimes if you have to go to the bathroom, you cannot hold it anymore. Your bladder is gone from 9 months of constant pressure and vomiting.
Yeah.
It's, your teeth are destroyed. Your hair is destroyed. You feel so amazing after not getting sick for the very first 2 weeks. I thought I was great. Yeah. And then my body just started giving out. I was so exhausted, 24/7.
Through so much trauma.
Yeah, you do forget all the stuff that your body's had, like, long term.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
I know everyone talks about the long term effects of COVID, but pregnancy has long term effects, never mind just hyperemesis as well.
Absolutely. Someone has, there's a text in here for you. Someone texted in and said, I had my little girl just before Christmas, but suffered with hyperemesis in my pregnancy. It was honestly the toughest thing I've ever gone through. I was prescribed Caraban, and thank God it worked, but at the cost of €180 for a month's supply.
Yeah.
This extra cost was crippling for me, but without the medication, I couldn't go to work. There were some mornings I had my arm down the toilet bowl trying to fish out the tablet I had just swallowed and then thrown up because I couldn't afford to waste a tablet. It's disgusting that we have to suffer like this with the added worry of money during a time that's supposed to be so lovely.
That's horrific.
Yeah, it really is. Like,
and I keep saying stupid things like, I was lucky I had nobody else to look after, even though it was just me looking after myself. Maid that I was in with, she had two small kids at home, and she was a full-time working teacher. She couldn't work. She couldn't look after her own kids.
Impossible.
It's terrible. And then the poor husbands that have to go to work to sustain their mortgage as well.
Sure.
They get no credit for looking after their partners, or it's just terrible.
Do you think you'll have another kid?
I couldn't afford to. I couldn't afford to, like, mentally, physically do it to myself again, or to Milo. Like, he'd have no mother for 9 months, and it's just myself and himself.
I couldn't
put my mortgage on hold again.
That's fair.
I couldn't do it to my business again. I own a coffee shop, and my staff, like, they were so good. They all stepped in to look after everything.
Yeah.
But that was between maternity leave and being out sick. That was a full year and a half of me gone. I came back when my child was only 5 months old because I had to get back to work. I'd been out for the whole pregnancy.
Yeah, it's impossible if you're self-employed as well.
Yeah.
Tell me about the coffee shop. It's happier thing. Tell me about the coffee shop and shout it out and plug it.
We have the Mellow Fig in Black Rock. We're here 11 years now. It's myself and my business partner, Vivian. It's two women run and own the place. We're knackered after COVID, after everything.
Yeah.
But we're trying to get back on track. And we're so supported by the local village as well. And even my customers have been so nice, and like presents for the baby, because they all knew how sick I was. At first they thought I was out with a bad back for 5 months because they couldn't tell anyone I was pregnant because it was so touch and go.
Yeah.
But everyone's been so good down here.
Janine, I just appreciate so much you chatting to us today.
No, thank you for even talking about it and, like, bringing awareness to it.
Because we're so, it's not, I think the only time that people would have heard of this before is possibly, you know, Kate Middleton.
Yeah.
And, you know, it 1% of women suffer from it. If you do suffer from it, you can text us, let us know your experience to 51552.
Hyperemesis Ireland on Instagram are brilliant for putting you
brilliant.
In touch with other people for support, even just for counselling. They're so good to
brilliant.
Let you know someone else that's had it.
So that's Hyperemesis Ireland on Instagram, and you can go to hyperemesis.ie for more info and support as well. Janine, we really appreciate you speaking to us today.
Not at all. Thanks for having me.
Look after yourself. Thanks
you
so
too.
Much.
Take care.
See ya. That was Mother. to Milo, Janine Breslin, who suffered from hyperemesis gravidarum when she was pregnant, and she's still feeling the effects months and months later.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.